A phrase that comes up in the Creed whenever we recite it is the communion of the saints. I believe in the communion of the saints. In many ways, we equate the communion of the saints with the church. The communion of saints is the church, the Catechism teaches us. The most important member of this communion, of course, is Christ himself, since he is the head of the communion of the saints, the head of the body, the church. The term communion of saints, therefore, has two closely linked meanings: communion in holy things and among holy persons. Sancta Sancti, God's holy gifts for God's holy people, is proclaimed by the celebrant in most Eastern liturgies during the elevation of the holy gifts before the distribution of communion. Holy things for the holy. The faithful are fed by Christ's holy body and blood to grow in the communion of the Holy Spirit and to communicate it to the world. We speak of the community of the saints, the communion of the saints, as communion in spiritual goods, such as communion in the faith. The disciples devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. From the earliest days of the church, there has been a sense, a profound sense of communion in the faith in Jesus Christ. So too, communion of the sacraments. All the sacraments, and especially the Eucharist, are sacred links uniting the faithful with one another and binding them to Jesus Christ. And above all, baptism, the gate by which we enter into the church. So too do we speak of a communion of charisms or special gifts given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit distributes special graces among the faithful of every rank for the building up of the church. These charisms are not distributed individually just for the sake of the individual, but rather for the sake of the building up of the body of Christ, the church. We can speak also of a communion of goods shared in common. All Christians should be ready and eager to come to the help of the needy and of their neighbors in want. A Christian is a steward of the Lord's goods. The things that we possess in this life, the material possessions that we hold, are not ours alone. They belong to the Lord. We are but stewards of these things, meant to be used as he would have us use them. We can also speak of communion in charity. In this solidarity with all men, living or dead, which is founded on the communion of saints, the least of our acts done in charity redounds to the profit of all, and every sin harms this communion. Everything that we do, everything that we fail to do, has an impact upon the communion of the church. We can also speak of the communion of the church of heaven and earth. The church is not simply all of the members of the church here and now here on earth, but rather also involves those in heaven, and in fact also includes those in purgatory. There are three states of the church: the church militant, also known as the pilgrim church, that would be all of us here on earth; the church suffering, the poor souls in purgatory; and the church triumphant, all of the saints in heaven. We all sing the one hymn of glory to our God. All indeed who are of Christ and who have his Spirit form one church, and in Christ cleave together. So it is that the union of the wayfarers with the brethren who sleep in the peace of Christ is in no way interrupted, but on the contrary, according to the constant faith of the Church, this union is reinforced by an exchange of spiritual goods. It's so important for us to remember that the Church is more than just us. That would be congregationalism. That would be defining church simply by the number of heads that could be counted here on earth. The church is a mystery, embracing the church militant, the church suffering, and the church triumphant. We have a communion with the saints that is profound. Our communion with the saints joins us to Christ. And in fact, we speak of the importance of the intercession of the saints. By their fraternal concern is our weakness greatly helped. Saint Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower, said that she wanted to spend her heaven in doing good on earth. This communion with the saints extends to our worship. We worship Christ as God's Son. We love the martyrs as the Lord's disciples and imitators, and rightly so, because of their matchless devotion toward their King and Master. May we also be their companions and fellow disciples. We can speak properly of communion with the dead, because it is a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead that they may be loosed from their sins, the Church offers her suffrages for them. Our prayer for them is capable not only of helping them, but also of making their intercession for us effective. As we speak of the communion of the saints, we, of course, speak of our communion with the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the Catechism treated the Blessed Virgin Mary earlier. We recap what the Catechism said here. We can speak of the major points about the Blessed Mother, Mary's motherhood with regard to the Church. She is wholly united with her Son. Mary's role in the Church is inseparable from her union with Christ and flows directly from it. After her Son's ascension, Mary aided the beginnings of the Church by her prayers. Every time the Blessed Mother is spoken of in the Scriptures, it is in reference to her life with her Son. And it's important to note that in the Acts of the Apostles, the Blessed Mother is included with the Apostles as they prayed during the time between the Ascension and Pentecost. The Blessed Mother offers her life for the good of the Church and continues to pray for the Church. The Catechism speaks of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary here. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a singular participation in her Son's resurrection and an anticipation of the resurrection of other Christians. And the Catechism speaks of Mary being our mother, the mother of all Christians according to the order of grace. The Virgin Mary is the Church's model of faith and charity. She is mother to us in the order of grace. And in our Church, we invoke the Blessed Virgin Mary under the titles of Advocate, Helper, Benefactress, and Mediatrix. The Blessed Virgin's salutary influence on men flows forth from the superabundance of the merits of Christ, rests on His mediation, depends entirely on it, and draws all its power from it. Within the Church, we have many devotions to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and these are important for the life of the Church. All generations will call me blessed. These are the Blessed Mother's own words spoken in the Magnificat. The Church's devotion to the Blessed Virgin is intrinsic to Christian worship. This very special devotion differs essentially from the adoration which is given to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Worship is due to God alone. We offer to the Blessed Virgin Mary veneration, or supreme veneration, the honor, the respect that is due to the saints of God and to her, the highest of the saints. The Blessed Mother is spoken of as the eschatological icon of the Church. In her, we contemplate what the Church already is in her mystery on her own pilgrimage of faith and what she will be in the homeland at the end of her journey. The Mother of Jesus is the image and beginning of the Church as it is to be perfected in the world to come.